1-800-449-8686. This is the Bill Henry Show.
Tonight on our show, we will have Robert Greene, the CEO of Fraser Foods, and a man who has, in the midst of his very busy and very successful business life, a man who has taken on the job of trying to give everybody else in the world a look at what it's like to be on the other side of success, to have tough times, to be suffering great pain. That's why when there's an accident on the freeway, he purposefully slows down all the traffic behind him so that he can see the accident and the rest of you can get a nose full of it, too, because he's a good Samaritan. He wants you to see the horror of accidents. Also, Margaret Gray will be with us on using the word gay. Young people today, especially young men, use the word gay in a negative way. That's a gay shirt. That's a gay game. You made a gay move. And she has taken it upon herself when she hears young people do that to slap them across the face because at one time in her life, she was gay. She had a lesbian fling in college. This news is out of Atlanta, and I wanted to get to it right away because this is the stuff that I think that, you know, I'm pretty good at. I'm a stepfather. Doesn't make me, in other words, a great parent. But as a stepdad, I've learned things that maybe some parents don't know, and that's why we want to inaugurate a new feature on our show, How to Handle Your Kids. And what do you do in those sticky situations where your child is acting out? You ever heard that term, acting out? A lot of you kids, you might have heard that term. Your parents, oh, well, he's acting out. And what that basically means is you took a cat by its tail, swung it around about 10 times, and then threw it into a wash. That's acting out. Or you grabbed your grandfather's gun and you went to school with it and killed 6 people. That's acting out. Now, how do you deal with a kid that acts out? For instance, I have a story here from Atlanta, and the area of Atlanta is called Buckhead. For those of you who are not familiar, Buckhead is a pretty nice part of town. It's also an area known for its nightclubs and restaurants, some very beautiful homes in that section of Atlanta. And there's a little 9-year-old boy who was at his parents' lovely home, and apparently at that home was to be a wedding reception. So they had waiters there. You ever seen these guys that cater things? You know, they all wear the black pants and the white shirt, sometimes with a black vest. And they walk around with a tray, and on the tray will be something that, man, don't look like nothing you want to eat. But they'll tell you, you know, it's, would you care for some scallops on a Melba toast with a cute off, cheese thing? I don't know what the hell it is, sir. Do you want some? No, I really don't. Well, aren't you something? And then they move on. I was at a party the other night. We were at a deal for our kids' school, and they were walking around. There was one thing that I wanted. It was that, you ever been to these parties? Look, let me say this. I like sushi. I'll only eat it in a sushi bar. I will not eat it on a tray. I'm not going to eat it at a steakhouse. I'm not going to eat at a restaurant in Utah. Nothing against you fine guys in Utah, but you know where the ocean is? You know where Utah is. Thank you. You got it? You know, the last time we went to Park City last year, and we have such a great time with everybody up in Salt Lake City at our affiliate there, Call. But Maria had a piece of sashimi at a joint that is otherwise known for its just American cuisine, right? And boy, it's sick isn't even the word. The next day, I thought I was going to have to just shoot her, just seriously, just to put her out of her misery and just come on alone, you know, home alone. Where's your wife? Oh, I had to shoot her. I had to put her out of her misery. Isn't that legal? So I ain't going to be, you know, and they come around with a tray with the teriyaki chicken. You mean the kind that's on the stick? Yeah, okay. I got it already. Thank you. Would you care for, it's a mushroom caps stuffed with goat cheese and crab meat. What do you want me to do with it? Do you want me to vomit now or would you like me to just... Do I eat that? Yes, it's intended to be... You're kidding, right? What are you, smartass? Just eat it. No, I don't want any of that. Or sometimes they'll come around with a deal like... and they always hand you the napkin. My thing is this. At parties, I like finger food a lot, but I'm holding a drink. Now I got an hors d'oeuvre. How am I going to hold a napkin? I can't hold a napkin. And I love these people that can take the mushroom cap stuffed with goat cheese, crab meat, and cat, you know, a stir-fried cat, and they can just take one bite and then, you know, do it in like four bites as they talk. I got to shove the whole thing in my mouth because I can't, I can't hold it, and I can't, it comes falling out if I eat one little bite. It's just, and then you look like a pig, but that's, I digress. So the kids are at their parents' house, and they're there in Buckhead, and they're going to have a they're going to have a wedding reception. And the parents, guess what they do? Now, this is a little 9-year-old boy and some other little punky brat, about 11. Well, the folks, they split to go off to the wedding, and the two brats are left at home. I don't get that. I'm sure there's some mitigating circumstance here that I'm not getting. I'm sure that this was written by the Atlanta Journal in a sexy way so that we could really pile on this family. So allow me to do exactly that. But if I do, I want you, if you're listening to family that's mentioned here, the Atlanta Journal made me do it. Because they only reported part of the story. So there's a brat there, and he's 9, and the waiters are setting up for a wedding reception at this upscale Buckhead home, as they call it. Setting up for a wedding. The waiter claims the homeowners left their two boys unattended to dash off to the wedding. The boy and his younger brother were running around wildly, and the oldest child threatened the waiter and other catering staff from Agnes and Muriel's, a popular Midtown eatery, with a knife. With a knife. Now, it probably, the kid picked up the knife and just, you can't do anything. My parents are rich. My father's an attorney. And if I stab you, he'll get me off. And the waiter's there like, oh, man, why? You know, I was going to go skiing tomorrow, and I got to deal with this. So now, what do you think the kid does? The kid kicks this waiter right square in the gonadials. I mean, nails this guy in the left quadrant. This cat was doubled over and walking with his knees together for the rest of the night, serving hors d'oeuvres, just going, girlfriend, hors d'oeuvres. Is this at the knees? You can't walk right that way. The kid kicked him in the balls, he says. The waiter said he developed acute epipledipius, whatever the hell it is. He's got erectile dysfunction, he missed work, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he got 15 G's out of the family. The parents' boys claimed they or their sitter were watching their children at all times, and their sons were playing in a normal manner. The court, they insisted the boy didn't kick the waiter or threaten anyone with a knife. Well, this guy got 15 G's. So the court held that something happened that held the family liable. This is seriously how I would have handled that situation, and it's dicey. When you have children that are acting out and they're not your own, it's important that you don't step over the line. You've got to do something that will obviously protect yourself and the assembled wait staff. But at the same time, you don't want to do anything that's going to hurt the child or that will otherwise perhaps open your own company to liability. Now, having said all of that, there is also the reality that you've just been kicked in the ball sack, okay? You've just taken one. Anybody out there ever been a catcher in baseball? All right, then you, okay, thank you. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? See, I used to catch baseball high school. You get down there in that crouch. Hey, baby, you're right here, huh? You know, you set that target up. The guy's going to, he's going to goose in maybe a little something, a little heat on the inside. Now the guy foul tips it. Now a foul tip comes off the bat backwards faster than the pitch. So if the guy came in with something like, you know, in high school, maybe 80 mile per hour heat, that ball comes off that bat about 10 miles faster, going right back towards your groin. And if you've ever been a catcher in baseball, yeah, let's go that foul tip, direct hit on the nutsack, and you're like, time out, man. Time out. How long is it going to be? It could be a while. It could be days. It could be days, brother. And you're, I don't care if you're wearing a cup. It doesn't make any difference. A cup. All that does is reverberate. It hits the cup, and it's like... So now everything that's inside that cup is going... And you're walking around holding on to your Royal American like it's going to fall off. And believe me, there's no pain in the world like it. Am I right, gentlemen? You know it. All right, so here's what you do in a situation like that. The little boy's acting out. His parents aren't around. He's threatened you with a knife. You're trying to set up for the wedding reception. He kicks you in the balls. Somewhere, I'm guessing, in the wedding reception that you've just kicked, you have just set up, is a punch bowl, and it's probably full, fairly high with punch. Now, what you do is you take the child by the back of the hair, lift him off the ground. Now, he'll scream, but that won't last very long, because what you're doing then is you're putting his head fully into the punch. And you leave it under that punch until the bubbles stop. Then you lift him out, you drop his lifeless, limp body to the cement, get in your car, and go to Mexico. And stay there forever. Okay? Now, that's how you handle that. That's Phil's How to Handle Your Kid When He's a Little Piece of Crap. Coming up, Bud's most rad accidents in NASCAR this week. Remember, keep the head immersed till the bubbles stop, because I always get emails on this. Well, Phil, how long do I keep the head up? Well, you keep it under, and the kid will just, you'll see his little legs kicking, and then finally they'll kind of slow down until finally, bleh, you know, it'll just kind of go limp. He may be playing possum. So keep it under there for, and then when the bubbles are completely ceased, then you lift him up, and just, you'll be holding him probably about 2 feet above the punch bowl and probably good 4 feet above the ground. Let go of his head and just drop him. And he'll hit the cement like a sandbag. Just, and then you get in your car and drive very slowly to Mexico, because there could be an APB soon. All right, Bud's most rad accidents in NASCAR this week, and our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. David G. Hall finds fault with me, because on Friday I sounded, though I sound like an idiot most days, on Friday I broke all records. So we'll talk with David about that. Coming up on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Now, everybody, it's time for Bud Dickburn's most radical accidents in NASCAR this week. Well, folks, we had the Daytona 500 this past weekend, a 2.5-mile try over 200 lap, 500 mile. Mark Brillo Head Martin. He was driving number 6 Viagra Ford early in the race when his engine explodes. Martin's completely blinded by thick black smoke that fills his cockpit. Unable to see while driving over 160 miles an hour, Martin miraculously slows down and safely returns to the pits. God! If he's blind, why is he going 160? You know, there is a brake on that, Mr. Martin.
This has been a Bud Dickman moment of humor.
On lap 27, Jeff Burton blew his engine and limps back to the pits. On lap 33, things got even more interesting as Derek Cope loses a left rear tire at 180 miles per hour. He slams into turn four wall. Cope spins and clips rookie Scott Riggs. Cope and Riggs both have to go to the pit to make repairs. Oh no, oh goodness, oh gracious. Then Rusty Wallace is trying to avoid Jamie McMurray. I'd avoid any guy named Jamie. I'm sorry. When he slams into Jeff Green, Ken Schrader batches into Green. Jeremy Mayfield has to drive to the grass to avoid the mayhem. Don't let me die! It's the last thing we hear Mayfield say.
Always on. And now, Bud Dickman's most radical accident of the race, brought to you by Rad Sports Tires. Visit Rad Sports Tires at Jimmy's Speed Shop in Tujunga.
Most radical accident of the race, Johnny Sauter, Brian Vickers, and Michael Waltrip are running three wide, coming out of turn two at 185 miles an hour. All of a sudden, things looked okay. Everybody was relaxing. Sauter lit a cigarette. Then Sauter gets loose and bumps Vickers. Vickers then hits Waltrip. Waltrip bounces off the wall. He turns sideways and slams into Robbie Gordon. Vickers is heard to say, "Dear God, I'm too young to die." Meanwhile, Waltrip's car flips end over end three times and disappears into a cloud of mud and shredded sheet metal before coming to rest upside down. And it takes several minutes to free Waltrip from the twisted wreckage. But when he finally gets out, he goes, "Please, tell me I'm alive. Tell me I'm alive."
And then he waves to the crowd. And men like this has been Bud Dickman's most radical accident of the race, brought to you by Jimmy's Speed Shop in Tujunga. Like a
gypsy. Now, everybody, it's time for Bud Dickman's mailbag. Yes, friends, wait a minute.
Oh, now it's time for Bud Dickman's mailbag.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. You're jealous because you don't get no mail, and I do.
I get mail. This isn't part of your bit. You get through all the radical accidents, you say your piece, then you get your ass out. What do you mean, Bud's mailbag? Hold on for a minute.
I bet you it's Mr. Hall.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, David.
Now what?
Well, I thought that when he did Bud's most radical accidents, it was just that.
Yeah, so he got some mail.
Well, how come he gets to read mail, too?
You get to read mail, don't you?
Yeah, Mr. Hall, he gets to read mail.
Why can't he?
Because I thought I was the only guy that got to read mail.
Oh, what, are you going to cry now?
He's crying, Mr. Hall.
I just thought I was the only one.
Get out of there, Phil, and let him read his mail.
Punk.
Bitch.
Ass.
Azure. Like Will and Sonny make it move.
As I was saying, folks, now let's get to Bud's mailbag. Hey, Bud, did you notice that first car out of the Daytona 500 was Mark Martin's Viagra-sponsored car? The car started stiff, then blew an engine after only 7 laps, spewing liquid as it prematurely exited the race and limped into the pits. The irony is great, Mike. I'm sorry. Spewing liquid. There you go, folks. That's Bud's most radical accents. And thanks to Mike for that email on Mark Martin's Viagra car. Spewing liquid.
This has been Bud Dickman's Most Radical Accidents, brought to you by Jimmy's Speed Shop in Tahunga.
Big wheels rolling.
Go there and have flames put on the side of your car. Have on a Holly Headers decal. Forget it.
Big wheels rolling.
What's wrong with you?
Bud's mailbag, huh?
Yeah.
So he gets some juvenile piece of crap about a car spewing liquid.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. You see, it was the Viagra...
I understand.
Well, what's the matter? Don't you like a little kind of... Are you the only guy that gets to turn a phrase on that show? Are you the only guy who gets to do a little, what do you call it, a double entendre?
Double entendre?
Oh, excuse me. I didn't know I was talking to Professor Higgins. Double entendre, excuse me.
Double entendre, what's that?
That's what you did with the Viagra car, spewing liquid and limping out of the race.
Well, I didn't get it anyway.
You didn't?
You didn't, huh? Then why did you read it?
Because that's supposed to be funny. That's what guy said in the letter.
Anyway, I thought it was really good, bud. Excuse me. So anything else? I'm sorry. What I had was...
I don't care, man, what you had. I don't care anymore.
Don't forget, everybody, Bud's email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. That's Bud's email address.
Wait a minute, man. How come he gets the...
Just let him use your email until he gets his own. Crybaby.
The white line is the lifeline to a nation. And men like Will and Sonny.
What a pussy.
Move. Living like a gypsy.
You can go now, Bud.
All right. See you later next week, everybody. Later.
See you later next week, everybody, later. That's really bright, man.
You're just jealous.
Yeah, I'm jealous, all right. One stinking letter you got.
No, I got a lot more. That's the funniest one.
I'd like to see how many letters he gets, Janice. I admit it did hurt my feelings a little bit. I mean, it's the one thing for him to read the race. Now, oh, hey, and now it's time for Bud's mailbag. Well, next thing you know, man, and will you be giving some opinions? What do you mean, a Bud Dickman moment of humor? All right, so that's it. The the Daytona 500, huh? Jesus, I went to a Daytona 500 one time, and it was the last time. See, I took a woman with me, and one thing you don't do is take a... As I've mentioned before, never take a woman into the infield of the Daytona 500. You just don't do it. Not if you want to come out whole again. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show coming up. Robert Greene on being a looky-loo. He likes to slow down and look at accidents because it gives the people behind him a chance to look at him too and learn something about life. Margaret Gray on using the word gay. She slaps any kid that uses it in a derogatory way. And more stuff in the news on Amber Alerts. Oh yeah, the GLAAD Awards. Talk about that on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
This is just an aside. I mean, I want to get into another thing about GLAD, but Al Sharpton became an ordained minister at 9? Well, no wonder I don't take that cat seriously. And don't tell me that it's got anything to do with race. In the name of everything holy, please. Please. If the guy was white, I ain't going to vote for any minister to be president. Are you kidding me? Or, well, this ain't freaking Iran, man. This is not Afghanistan where we're all sitting around with a hookah and we got to get the tribal leaders together to see what Allah has ordained in the Quran. Bug off with that. We don't elect no religious guys to run this country, okay? Secular people only. You can have all the churches you want. You can do anything you want. This whole thing that went down on Friday, by the way, what were we talking about, Chris? The whole thing just got totally missed. Remember that cat that was ragging on me about being anti-Christian? I mean, it's, I don't know how, what was that, man?
We were talking about if the gay marriage is bad.
Oh, yeah, and then that kid lied?
Yeah, he said that God says in the Bible that he especially hates gays.
Yeah,
he doesn't say that at all.
It's a load, don't say that. But, you know, they got to start creating stuff because the actual Bible is not really supporting much of what they're saying. Yeah, it says you can't lay down with another guy, but it also said you can't steal, you can't cheat, you can't be a glutton, you can't do this, and you can't do that. How come all those cats get wedding licenses, marriage licenses? How come they get it? So the guy had to come up with some concocted bunch of crap. Well, it says that God especially hates gays. No, it does not, man. No, it does not. That's why we don't want any religious people being elected president unless they can keep their religion out of the enforcement of the law. President is the chief law enforcement officer of the entire country, must enforce the law. I don't want some anti-abortion or pro-abortion guy in there on religious grounds circumventing the law because God tells him to do. God ain't got nothing to do with it, baby. God's got a lot to do with life and, you know, religion. It's a beautiful thing. He ain't running the show here. Ultimately, it's the decision of men. And there's all kinds of different men and women. But this guy Sharpton ordained at 9. And let me ask another question, and I don't mean to be offensive, but I don't think it's too wrong of me to ask. Why does this guy get away with conking his hair? What's up with that? I thought that was just an absolute and utter insult to the African-American and to the African to conk your freaking hair to make it look white so you can, you know, comb it back like you're Elvis Presley. The guy's got a freaking pompadour. He's got the James Brown conk. And what, that's something to be proud of? Okay, that's number two. And finally, number three, the guy's, he's so funny, I wouldn't want him to be president. I'd just rather hear him keep preaching. I think he just does good rapping about stuff, but like making decisions, it would be a scary thing. But I'd say that if it was Jimmy Swaggart running or any white guy, it doesn't make any difference. It's not a good thing. All right, here is what I really wanted to talk about. Or this is what I really want to just kind of blow off some steam about. Or this is just really what, or this is just something. I don't know why, but I understand that GLAAD gives out every year these awards. Best show, best person, best gay person, best friend of gay people, best, everything, right? So Janice and I are talking about this because we're writing up a bit tonight on gay marriage, and we're going to have Margaret on to talk about the use of the word gay colloquially now by young people. It means something negative. Oh, that's a really gay thing you did. So we're rapping about that, and Janice tells me, I didn't know this, but GLAAD gives out, what, every year or every other year, at least last year, an award to Dharma, what's the name of that show?
Will and Grace.
Yeah, Dharma and Grace?
Dharma and
Grace.
Is
two chicks to live together?
Yeah.
Will and Dharma? It gives out an award to Will and Grace as like the big gay show, right? Now I'm going to tell you something. Will and Grace is the most stereotyped bunch of dreck that it's ever been my displeasure to view on television. As if you didn't know the main guy is gay, because, you know, he has a suit on and he doesn't affect too much, quote, gayness, I guess. They got to bring on the mincing, swishing queen. They got to bring that guy on as just, oh, ooh, just fag supreme. Double XL queer. So you know that they're all a bunch of gays. And this is what you guys at GLAAD are giving your awards to, huh? Some stereotype garbage like that. You talk about being desperately in or wanting to be in bed with Hollywood and being so desperate about it, you give it to some unimaginative piece of crud show like that. Will and Grace blows. Let me just give you the official word on that, okay? In case you cats out there think it actually is good, I got news for you. It ain't. It sucks. It, first of all, it ain't funny. Secondly, it takes gay people and turns them into a bunch of, you know, if you didn't know they're fags, man, watch Will and Grace. They got a big, they might as well just have a big say. If you didn't know he's a fag, this is the fag. You know how they have those pop-up videos? And they ought to have a pop-up thing that says, fag, just in case you don't know. And then, of course, he gets along so good with his straight roommate, the chick. Hey, how about making it a guy? Well, then people will be confused, right? The dumbasses that watch your shows. Let me tell you something, GLAAD. You know who you ought to give an award to? I mean this. We have a character on our show named Doug Danger. He's a gay man and a gay journalist. He's non-sexual. What he is, however, is a pompous-ass activist who parades his gayness as if it gives him some extra added authority. And on top of that, threatens people with being homophobic if they don't completely agree with what he says, right? Now that is a character, when we bring that character out on our show, that character makes straight people feel uncomfortable. If I was to come on the air here with some mincing fag character, you know what I'd get? I'd get phone calls of people cranking me, laughing about it, going, Baba Booey, and hanging up and all of that crap, right? But we don't do that because the show we do is a little bit, you know, a cut above. We have a gay character on that actually makes straight people, it challenges straight people and makes them feel really uncomfortable and has them kind of locked into that foggy zone that most straight people are locked into, which is, I don't want to be a homophobe, but I'm really not for gay marriage, and I don't believe in what happened to Matthew Shepard, but I really don't want my son having a gay PE teacher. That's where straight people live. And Doug Danger goes right into that area and manipulates and excoriates and exaltates and
masturbates.
Get out of here, bud. You already had your time on the air.
Nasty beats.
What a jive ass, man. I'm making a point. You jumping in here with that? Anyway, Doug Danger goes right into the place where straight people live and makes them and confronts them on those issues. If any gay character in the history of broadcasting deserved an award, that's it. That gay character is non-stereotypical. He's not sexual. He isn't mincing. In fact, he's kind of macho because he's always threatening to kick people's asses. He's very political. In other words, he is treated like a straight person. He's something other than a sexual animal, a sexual creature. Now, if you wanted to give out an award that meant something, you'd give it out to our character, Doug Danger. You'd give it out to our show. But, you know, that would mean having to recognize a radio show. And GLAAD, you know, you guys are all with television, right? Isn't that right, man? And you cats all invited all the fundraisers, huh? All the Democratic fundraisers right over at, whatever, the David's house and the this house and that house and the Streisand's pad. And you're clinking wine glasses with all those pompous, stiff asses. Isn't that right? So you can't be bothered with reality. Just the minute, the second, the television even deigns to recognize that there's such a thing as gay people, you're falling all over yourselves giving them a freaking award. You just can't wait to give them. I bet you they'll win another one in April, man. Is that Will and Grace still on the air? I don't even watch the piece of crap. Jesus, you know, how is it you folks out there, honest to God, I love you, but how do you guys get so conned? Honest, really? Will and Grace is so funny. When? When it goes off the air? Oh, did you see it? Yeah, man, I saw it. It ain't funny at all. And when that mincing queen comes on, I want to throw a brick through the television. It's a cartoon, man. There's nothing artistic about it at all. It's just it's like a Saturday morning cartoon. It's like, here's something now for the kids, and here's something now for the adults who have brains like kids. And it's the same thing. I mean, they have cartoons on Saturday morning, or you can watch the live-action cartoon on Thursday or Friday or Wednesday night. But the same mentality, I mean, you know, like an 8-year-old kid is going to laugh at either. Well, 8-year-old kids are very sophisticated, Phil. Yeah, okay, I got it. Go ahead and pander to them, too, while you're at it.
glad. What does that stand? Gay, lesbian, anti-ass?
Against, Alliance Against Defamation.
Oh, Alliance Against Defamation. If ever in the world I have heard a contradiction in terms, to give out an award to Will and Grace and call yourselves an Alliance Against Defamation when Will and Grace and Mince Boy and the rest of their stupid fag stereotypes in that show make a mockery out of gay people and you give them an award, you cats ought to disband. Really, just give it up. Not only that, but why don't you join up with Kerry, John Kerry, because that cat needs people like you, talking out of both sides of your freaking face. And Kerry, did you hear the latest? Did you hear what he was complaining about? That Bush got his picture taken at a NASCAR race. That's a, I don't know if you're aware of that, but that's a war crime. It's a terrible thing for a president, he's the president of the United States, to actually go out and meet some voters at a NASCAR race. If it was up to John Kerry, see, he'd be sitting in a dungeon someplace in the White House and he'd never be seen. In your case, Kerry, that'd be a nice thing, man. You get elected president, the less I see you, the better. Oh, man. All the facelifts in the world, brother. No offense, man. I mean, I ain't that great to look at. So, you know, it takes one to know one. Well, that's where we're at. The Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation gives this year's award to Will and Grace, Best Actor, the guy that plays the mincing fag. What's his name?
Sean Hayes.
Sean Hayes. Is he gay?
I don't know for sure.
Why the hell are you guys, why can't you guys look into these things a little bit better for me? Well, in any event, he can't possibly be gay. A real gay actor would find that an affront and an insult. I mean, a real artist would find that character an insult to play. Unless, of course, he's starving and he needs the, like, $10,000 a week paycheck. In which case, if it was me, I'd do it. But the rest of you guys have to, you've got to meet higher standards. Let's put it that way. All right, 1-800-449-8686. David Hall, oh, he already apologized to me? Okay, moving along. We do have Margaret Gray on the use of the word gay. If she hears a kid use it, she slaps him. Bob Green, how he slows down to look at accidents in the hopes it'll slow other people down so they can see the accidents too. It's coming up on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
On our show last week, we had Robert Reichel, a Democratic Party analyst, who was saying the American people have moved past any possible affair that John Kerry had, and to worry about affairs that politicians have is to act like big babies.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
First of all, I'm not going to tell you to go back to Germany.
Thank you.
So that's first off. But I will tell you that you have no idea how foolish you sound. You have absolutely no argument, and all you can come up with is calling people babies and playing your stupid soundbite.
They act like babies.
No one here is acting like baby. We are acting like a moral society, and you have no right to impose your immoral values on America.
Oh, my goodness. What is immoral about a man?
This is a moral society.
What is immoral about a man doing it
and
with a girl?
America has absolutely nothing to learn from Germany. You are the one who should be ashamed of your history.
You know that in Germany we had a wonderful politician.
The United States of America is a beautiful country, and you are offended. Sir, and we will not vote someone into the White House who undermines our moral fiber.
You hear the baby? You have made the baby cry.
Is that the best you can come up with?
But you know what, sir? They want you to come to play because they think you are a baby like them.
Intelligent argument than that?
Turn it off, please, sir.
But you see, I can't get a word in unless I play the baby.
Is that the best you can come up with?
No, they are your friends.
You have no better argument than that?
No, they are your friends. They want you to come to play.
You are absolutely foolish, sir.
No, I am saying to you that we had a politician in Germany who was one of the best prime ministers we had ever had. He had sex with boys and was found in a diaper.
Really?
He was found in a diaper in a park.
That
and yet,
is not
going
to happen in the United States because American people have a lot more class than
what,
that.
What prime minister are you talking about?
It's Prime Minister Kogel in the late 1960s. The police found him in the public, in the Eisenstein Park in Berlin, in a diaper because he had some sexual predilection. and yet he's one of the best prime ministers we ever
had. And you're proud of that.
He was a great prime minister.
Well...
oh, my God.
Well,
you are going to hold this against a man because he loves to make in his diaper and this kind of thing.
That is ridiculous.
No, I am simply saying
to you. I'm kidding you. You are so ridiculous.
Would you please?
That is not going to happen in the United States because the American people are a lot smarter than
that. Oh, Sarah, you should take a drink of milk from the nipple of Mother Europe.
That's the best you can come up with?
Yes, I have much better.
Pathetic.
I have much better, but I have. You have not come up with anything.
No.
You have said nothing except. We are proud to be a moral society. You would elect a man who has never had sex ever, even if he was a moron and couldn't even spell his own name, as long as his penis had never been in a girl.
Oh, my God. I have to tell you, Mr. Reichel, you do sound a little stupid.
I sound stupid.
You're foolish.
Listen, the babies are calling you. They are saying, Sarah, Sarah, come. We want to play and bounce balls.
Listen. I have nothing else
when
to say.
When you hear the call of the baby, you know you are in the wrong.
I have nothing else to say to you, and you are going to be so sorry
when you hear the tape
Mr.
of this show.
Bush gets elected again.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Sir, the sound of the baby is calling you. When you hear the baby call, you'll hear the baby calls you, sir. You must go to the baby. Go. Sir, where's your
mama? Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
That's another classic line. When you hear the call of the baby, you know you're in the wrong. Yes, David?
Phil, I know you got a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
I heard your big talk there about GLAAD and about gay people and respect for gay people, right?
Okay, you're leading up to something.
Oh, yeah, you bet I'm leading up to something. Now, did you remember talking about those two old, funky-looking dykes on the fronts of the newspapers on Friday?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, uh-huh. You know what you did, didn't you?
I understand that they were two very famous people.
That's right. Del Martin and Phyllis Lyon, those two, quote, funky old-looking dykes, were two revolutionary, groundbreaking people, and dumbass Phil Henry's on there going, hey, why don't they get some really good-looking dykes? You know something? I thought you were an educated man. You're really an idiot, aren't you?
I didn't know. Fox didn't put a caption. I bet you 99% of the people didn't know.
Well, you're a talk show host. You're supposed to know, dopey. Hey, look at all those funky-looking dykes that you might as well call Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks, some old Negro seamstress. Those two women are the Rosa Parks of the lesbian thing. What do you
call it?
Don't worry. It isn't my problem. It's yours. Now, I want you to talk to them. I've got them right here.
You got Ms. Lyon and Martin?
Yes, I do. Ms. Martin, come here.
Hello, Phil. How are you?
Ms. Martin, I want to apologize. I.
That's okay. We understand.
And I just want you to know that I'm not a very educated man when it comes to matters of the lesbian movement and its history, and I apologize. I know you're very profoundly...
We're on the phone.
Hold on for a minute, Phil.
Who's that?
Well, let me...
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Who's this?
Phyllis. Thanks for...
Get out of here. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
As a businessman and a successful businessman, Robert Green joins us. You have taken on kind of a side altruistic, I don't know, it's an avocation?
I wouldn't say it's totally altruistic, Phil. I want people to see how tough life was for people such as myself to become successful in business. I've been through a lot, and I don't know that other people have been through what I've been through. They've been living soft a little bit, a lot of them. And sometimes I want to walk up to the average person and just, I don't know, slap their face, just to wake them up. So if I can literally, Phil, shove their faces in a little bit of the pain that some of us have been through, I think it's a good thing. We can have a society that appreciates the pain of others.
All right, well, as a busy businessman, how do you do that?
Well, I realized, Phil, that I didn't have time to teach class. I didn't have time to give lectures. I realized that I did have time, though, to, on any given day, show people the pain of others. Here in Los Angeles and across the country, there are some pretty frightening accidents off to the side of the road every day, off to the side of the freeway. People complain that traffic slows up around them for so-called looky-loos, or if you will, rubberneckers. I find that to be an insult because I'm one of those people who slows up for accidents.
And you do that on purpose, right?
Yes, I do. And the reason I do it is because I know it's slowing people behind me. And if I can slow them up enough, I can force them to take a look at that accident. And if I can force them to take a look at that accident, see what there may be to see an injured person, perhaps a fatality. It's not good that someone died, but I have a police scanner on my dash. I can find out if there's been a fatality. I will drive to that location and try and get traffic slowed up behind me, because if you can force traffic to slow long enough to see, you know, unfortunately, a dead body, you've just given somebody a gift, and the gift is a note. And the note says, live it up, stupid, because, and I don't mean to say stupid, but, you know, that could be you, and so many people don't recognize that.
How do we, okay, you're purposefully slowing up on freeways and expressways near accidents to slow traffic behind you. You mentioned the terms looky-loos, and you mentioned the term rubberneckers and people that ogle accidents. This is a negative. And a lot of people don't like that, but you say the reason is to give those people a good look at the accident.
That is correct, and it's something as simple as this. When I get slow, I slow up in the lane where the accident is, and I will stick my hand out the window and wave to the traffic behind me, and if the accident is off to my right, I will point over to the right side, over the car. If it's off to the left, I will point off to the left, waving and then pointing. And the purpose of this, Phil, is to say, hey, you people in your cars, you people rushing off to your job, rushing off to your meeting, rushing off to what you think is important, take a look at that, because that could be you. And I've seen so much of it. It's painful, but it's educational.
All right, now you mentioned that you had tasted some bitter moments in life, Bob. Can you share some of those with us? Tell us where you're from, what your orientation is, and why you are engaged in this avocation.
Well, it's because of my experiences that I want to wake up Mr. and Mrs. America. I'll never forget the night I drove by an accident on Interstate 10. It was out near Indio, and there must have been 20 flares out. It looked like a head-on. I saw that there were ambulances and a number of highway patrol vehicles. That shook me up for a long time, and most people don't see those things. They don't experience the horror of it. One night I saw a tractor trailer that had jackknifed out onto a frontage road. That was a close call for that driver. So I've been through a lot, and what I do now is slow up, and I force the traffic behind me to slow so people can see. Take a good long look at what could have happened to them. And again, I wave and I point, and really it's to say, hey, and I don't mean to be cruel, but it's to say, hey, stupid, while you're honking at me, which when if they do honk at me, I completely ignore it.
Well, you mentioned to me that when, if you hear honks, you put on a pair of headphones, right?
I put on some headphones that I have in the front seat, and I point to the headphones as if to say, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Take a good look. Had I not slowed up and forced them to see it and take stock of their lives, who knows where they'd be.
Robert Green, he's the CEO of Fraser Foods, but he's engaged in what he calls reality outreach. On the freeways, around town, if he sees an accident, he slows down and forces the traffic behind him to slow down. Many of us know these people as looky-loos and rubberneckers. And
well, I don't like to be called that, Phil.
Well, I know that that's not you, but you're slowing down for a purpose. You're slowing.
Well, most of these looky-loos slow down just to see the accident, and it is interesting, but I slow down to force the other people to slow down.
And to look at it.
Absolutely.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green joining us. You mentioned some people think of it as looky-loo slowing or rubbernecking, as I mentioned it too, and they don't like to go slow behind somebody looking at the accident. So what do you do other than put the headphones on when you have an impatient driver behind you?
Well, quite frequently I will have impatient drivers, Phil, and generally what they do is they honk, and I mentioned I put on what I have, and I will always have, is my arm resting on the open window, one hand on the wheel, and I'm looking directly at the accident. So I'm not, I can see the road ahead of me, but I'm not looking at the road ahead. That gives them the message, you know something, I'm not interested in what you're interested in. I'm not interested in looking at the road ahead. I'm looking at that accident. If I can get traffic slowed enough, I will ask the emergency personnel or the police at the scene what happened. If people honk, I mention I have a pair of headphones that I keep on the seat, I immediately slip them on, and I point to them. And that's my way of saying, I can't hear your honking, and then I point to the accident. And that's my way of saying, you know what, forget your honking and forget your pain in the you-know-what life. Take a look at what's going on. And again, Mr. Henry, I've lived through a lot in my life. I mean, I'm the CEO of a very successful company, and if I can help even one person a day become aware of someone else's pain by forcing them to slow down and really take a long look at the accident, I've done well. The things I've seen are...
Well, when you mention the things you've seen, are you talking about other accidents?
Well, yeah, I'm talking about... But I'm talking about experiencing them, not the way the average motorist does who just stares at it like he's watching a TV show. I really see the accident. I will ask emergency personnel if anybody died, if anyone was hurt.
What do they say? What do the cops, the ambulance drivers, and so on say to you when you're asking these questions?
I think they really appreciate my interest, and I can see, you know, they kind of look at me as if to say, you know, nobody's ever really shown enough interest, and they'll tell me what they can. I slow down to probably about anywhere from 5 to 10 miles an hour, slow enough so that I can get the whole story, and slow enough, more importantly, so that Mr. and Mrs. America and their kids and whoever else is riding with them slow down and take a look at it, too.
So the police are a pre... What about... Now, here's a question that I would ask you. Kids. What if there are kids in the cars behind you and you're coming up in a particularly gruesome accident? Isn't that subjecting those children to a level of trauma?
Well, sometimes, Phil, there are kids in a car behind me. If the driver of that car honks at me or yells something, then the driver has just caused those children to see the accident because I'm going to slow up even more. If I get...
So if you're aware there are kids in the car and the guy honks at you to get moving faster, you slow up more?
That is correct, because I want to make... If their father and mother honked at me to say go faster, we want to hide from this. To me, that's an uncaring parent, and they've just given the job of parenting their kid to me. And if you're going to give me the job of parenting your kid by wanting to go faster and getting away from the accident, then I'm going to parent your child the way I see fit, and that way is to... slow up and make sure that kid gets a good eyeful of that accident. If it's a fatality, someone's lost a limb, it can be quite frightening.
Robert Green with us, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about him purposefully slowing up and looking at accidents, not because he's a rubbernecker or a looky-loo, but because he wants people behind him to get a look at the horror of life that you've experienced, and the horror of life that you've experienced really are just other accidents?
Well, you keep saying other accidents. I don't know.
You said that you've been through a lot of tough times.
I have, sir, yes.
All right. The tough times you're telling me about are the accidents you've seen.
I've seen some pretty gruesome accidents. I've got a police scanner on the dash of my car, and I go out to where there have been fatalities or any accident, and I slow up and force people to look at them. So I don't know if they do. But I can tell you, I'm taking it in. I'm the CEO of a very successful business. I know people. And believe me, when you run a grocery store, you know people inside out. You see them being selfish. You see them being greedy. You see them being gluttonous. And people have ignored the tough part of life long enough. And for me, it's rewarding work.
Robert Green from Fraser Foods, just a typical CEO. Businessman, but his avocation is making people take a look at life, and he does it by going out to accidents on freeways and expressways and slowing down so that it forces the traffic behind him to go slow, and he'll point at the accident as if to say, take a look at this, because you people are speeding through your life ignoring it. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, the number in the Phil Henry Show. I got a little bit of a problem with what he said about kids. What if there are kids in the car behind him? He said, well, you know what? Then, I want them to see it, too. It's tough. And if their parents honk, then I slow down even more. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The eighth wonder of the world.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
On the line with me is Robert Greene. He's the CEO of Fraser Foods, and we're talking to him about his avocation of trying to get people to slow down to see accidents. Now, you believe that people are just racing by these accidents, or if they do slow down to look at them, it's just out of morbid curiosity. And not because they really care about the pain of life?
That's pretty much it, Phil. People that are staring at accidents, you can see the sort of stupid look in their... I don't mean to say stupid, but you can see a sort of dull look in their face like they don't really know what they're looking at. What I do is I make them slow down, even if they don't want to, and I point at that accident. And my message is clear. Take a look at it, because it could happen to you. And whether you like it or not, you're going to slow down because I'm in front of you.
And the possibility of people getting angry at you.
Well, that doesn't bother me. What are they going to do? I mean, they're going to honk their horns, they shake their fist. That's fine. But if I've been able to wake one human being up, if I can wake up one American and say, look at that, and I'll point at it. I wave first and then point. And there are people out there who've never experienced any pain in their lives. Pain equals growth. And even if it's seeing someone who's been bloodied in an accident, even an empty baby seat upside down in the middle of the road, a distraught man hovering over a sheet that covers a body, it's a reminder of that pain.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. It sounds like a hell of a way to wake up to life.
Well, but it's necessary. When you see the number of people coming into the grocery store that I do who look lost, I mean, most of the human race is just lost.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Candy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I beg to differ on that, that some of us have been through everything, have seen everything, and if anything, for him slowing down is causing more accidents.
Well,
what
have you seen? I don't understand.
Well, you just stop and look at these people as if this doesn't happen. I mean, my first husband was killed by drunk driving, and...
Where was that?
There's
still tons
of people out there that do that, and I'm not going to slow down for every person I see on the side of the freeway, whether it's an accident or being pulled over.
But, Candy, what I'm saying is your husband died as the result of a drunk driver?
Pardon me?
Did you say your husband died as the result of...
Yes.
As the result of...
And it doesn't mean I stop by in the
flow
of traffic to slow down.
Did you say that he was shot?
Pardon me?
Did you say he was shot?
He was shot?
Yes, isn't that what you said?
No. I'm saying is if you're playing down...
How did your husband die?
I believe the lady said that her husband died from a drunk driver.
Oh, a drunk driver. Where did your husband die?
Well, he died in Utah.
All right, let me ask you something, and I know that it was a traumatic thing, but if people slowed down and took a good look at your husband's body inside that car... and it changed their way of viewing things, wouldn't that be a good thing?
No, you know what? I don't think so. There's been mothers have drunk drivers. There's been...
Yeah, but
I haven't seen his body. I could tell you right now that it doesn't make people think twice. It's just a mere fact that you are causing more accidents.
Did you really see his body? Did you pull the sheet back and get a good look at him?
Well, of course I did. If there wasn't a sheet on him.
Stay with me, Candy. You say your husband was killed by a drunk driver. Were you the driver?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, well, you said you'd been drinking.
No, she said
no,
she...
No, I said I have driven... Not drunk, but where...
Well, you may not believe this, but I don't point to the accident. Some people just think it's heavy traffic. I need to point so they know where to look to find the wreckage.
And to prove what? That these people did what? If we don't know the
story,
then what's
it matter?
Well,
I can point to your husband, and I can say, look, this is what drinking did to this man. If your husband had not been drinking...
How about you holding up traffic as a rookie
well, ma'am,
and
I mean,
causes more accidents?
Your husband
so
was...
Should we say, look at this person, yeah. They're causing more accidents?
Yeah, but your husband was the one that had been drinking. And so it's his own fault.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that you stop.
All right, Candy, thanks very much.
And all of a sudden they have
if I have very often had to put one of those big foam hands that you get at a baseball game and point, that's what I'll do. But if your husband hadn't been drinking, he wouldn't have flipped his car or whatever he did.
Well, you know what? We're not talking about that, aren't we?
All right,
we're
thanks, Candy. 1-800-449-8686. Go over here to Rick. Rick, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I just got a couple points for this guy. Number one, I can't...
Was she drinking?
I can't believe...
No, she wasn't the drinker, and her husband wasn't the drinker. It was another one. I'm sorry, Rick, go ahead.
I can't believe that this guy, who's a CEO of a company, he doesn't have anything better to do than drive around the countryside looking at accidents and slowing down, and I can't believe that the police don't have anything better to do at an accident site than to talk to this clown about what exactly took place. And just because parents don't want to slow down with kids in their car to watch or see an accident, that does not mean that they want to give you the job of parenting their kid.
I don't understand what you're saying. If you care about your children, you're going to stick their noses right into something like that.
I am.
Well, why wouldn't you, sir? And that's the reality of life. And if you're
let me tell you something, sir. I've raised three kids.
There's nothing
I've done a damn good job, and I didn't have to stick their nose in the middle of some accident to make them aware of other people, to make them humanitarian, to make them non-prejudiced, to make them see everybody equal in God's eyes.
You know,
you don't have to rub somebody's nose in an accident.
No, you don't. Well, I'm a busy man, and I don't know what you do for a living, but I can tell you, I can get a lot of parenting in just by showing my kids a multiple fatality and say, look at that. That goes a long way. What do you want to do? Go play baseball with them, or what are you going to do?
What does that teach a kid?
Watch your ass. Excuse my language, but that's what it says. You know, because God can reach out and destroy your life.
The only way, by doing that, that's the only way you can do that is by slowing down and showing somebody an accident like that?
It's not the only way, but it's the way that I do it, and it's necessary for a lot of these... I'm the CEO of a grocery store, and you've never seen bigger idiots. You see the human race when you run a grocery store.
All right, listen, Rick...
I work in a grocery store, and I see people come in there, and they don't have this deer in the headlight look that you're talking about, and there's a hell of a lot of people in this country who care a lot about their fellow man, and they didn't get it by slowing down and stopping some damn accident.
I got to tell you, Rick, my kids learn more about life from a day of looking for accidents with me than any other father has with his kid time, and we can spend a day looking for accidents.
All right, listen, Rick, I got to take a break. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. He slows down to make sure you see the accident.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Robert Green with me. Mr. Green, had you at one time been a looky-loo or a rubbernecker? In other words, a person that looked at accidents for fun?
Phil, at one time I was like everybody else. If you're asking me, was I like everybody else? Yes, I was.
And let me just say, your avocation, people who just tuned in, is to slow down at accidents and force the people to slow down behind you to look at that accident, to really get their nose into that pain and to realize how lucky they are. Is that essentially your philosophy?
Well, and it's also to, remind them of how really clueless they are. I mean, I was like a lot of your listeners. I was very much not in the world, and I would stare at the accident, and someone honked at me one day, and I felt guilty, and then I realized... Because I enjoyed seeing the accidents, not from the standpoint that I like pain, but because it was interesting.
to see it. And not because I want to see someone hurt, but it was interesting to look at, I don't know, just to see all that destruction. And I enjoyed it, but I did feel guilty about it. And then I hit upon the idea of, this is a good way to enjoy it. If I'm going to enjoy it, let me enjoy it and help other people.
You enjoy seeing accidents off to the side of the road.
I'm honest enough to say I find it interesting to see, yes, to see that. And like the reason why we all like war movies or we like to see anything like that. But now I can say I'm also slowing up to make idiots, well, not idiots, but the idiots behind me, look at the accident and take stock of their lives.
All right. It's hard to take a guy serious, though, who's got a big foam rubber number one finger pointing, you know, out of his car.
Well, you know, sometimes you need to get people's attention, and they think that that foam rubber number one finger they use at football games. I use it to say, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Back and forth like that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green, the CEO of Fraser Foods, on to talk about why he slows up to watch, to look at accidents. It's to make you guys slow up and look at them, too. Carl, hello, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Green.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, I'd like to know where Mr. Green's store is so he can notify all his idiot clients not to shop there anymore.
I'd like to ask you know, I'm not calling you any names, sir.
But you called all your clients to shop at your grocery store, idiot.
No,
so
I just, all I'm saying
you know,
is
you did. Let me ask you, sicko,
doesn't mean
a question.
That they are. Doesn't
let me
mean
ask
that they
you
are.
A, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in an accident other than a rubbernecker, gloating on somebody else's pain?
Have I ever personally been in an automobile accident?
You've been asked that question twice, and you've ignored it both times. Have you been in an accident to know the pain?
That's got nothing to do with it. I've seen enough accidents.
You are an idiot. You are the cause of accidents.
And the answer to that question has got to be a no. Isn't that right, Mr. Green?
You've not been in an accident.
Why would you guys ask me that question?
Well, you said
I've been in two serious accidents, and I hate people like you because you've also caused a second accident at one of our accidents.
Wait a minute.
Slowing down and gloating over somebody's pain.
I don't enjoy being in accidents the way you do. I'm sick.
That belongs behind bars.
I don't enjoy being in accidents the way you do.
You just got through saying you enjoy looking at.
I do enjoy looking at them. Yes.
You are a sicko.
And by the way,
are a sicko, and we ought to be put out of business and behind bars.
Who's sicker?
Other people's agony.
Who's sicker?
You are a sick.
Who's sicker? A guy like you who likes to be in accidents, or a guy like me that likes
to
look at it?
Mister, I would love to know where your store is, and I'd come down and see you.
Oh, really?
And I'd pay for the advertising.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of driving school?
Yeah.
Okay, that might help.
By somebody in the rear end.
Wait a minute. Mister Carl, the accidents you've been in were not caused by you; they were caused by others.
I was a passenger rear-ended by some guy.
Where was this, sir?
In Connecticut. Where's your store, sir?
My police scanner doesn't reach the Connecticut, but I would have loved to have seen it just to see what.
I would love to know where your policeman talked to you at accidents also.
I'd like to know. Are you saying?
Let me tell you something. As a former police commissioner, mister, you are an outright liar about policemen talking to you at a scene of an accident.
You're driving by slowly.
Well, you know an awful lot about me, and you're the guy that enjoys getting in it.
He's already established it wasn't his fault.
I've never called a talk show before, but I got so disgusted, I'm sitting on the side of the road listening to your garbage.
Hey, Carl, let me ask you, this is just a joke.
Have you on there.
This is just a joke, but what's it feel like to get bumped in the rear? Now, that's just a joke.
It's not a joke in my estimation, mister. I've been paralyzed for 10 years. It's not a joke.
Are you paralyzed from the waist down, from the neck down? What is it?
None of your damn business, but I'd still like to have you answer the question, what state or where is your store?
I'm in the state of California. My store is in Buena Park, California. You can find me driving the highways all over California.
I want to find your store so I can put a sign in your store for the sicko.
All right, now my question is this, Mr. Green, because you use a foam rubber number one finger and you wear a cat in a hat.
That's for people to recognize who I am. Yes, sir.
And you're driving around like that, looking at accidents.
You know, you gentlemen have found nothing but fault with my effort to make people behind me see a guy like Carl and say, take a look at him. He's peeing out of a straw now because he wasn't careful. That could happen to you.
I got one comment for you, Phil Hendry. You ought to get some decent guests on your show.
He's talking about me, Mr. Henry, and I can tell you...
All right, well, I appreciate your input, Carl.
Carl, let me ask you, how do you go to the bathroom?
That's really rude, man. Really, really rude.
Mister, you got a sick sense of humor. And I hope to God you get shot.
Who, me?
That's what I...
You're talking about...
Bob Green. Green.
Bob Green, huh? You want me to get shot?
I would love to see you get shot.
Well, I tell you what.
I would love it.
I'm opening up a store in, where are you? West Haven, Connecticut? I'm opening a store there next month.
Good.
Oh, God.
Good.
You've just
I would love to
me,
see.
And you've, now you're in trouble. Now I'm going to call, I'm calling the Connecticut State Attorney.
You go ahead.
Hey, by the way, who drives faster, you or Stephen Hawkins? Now, see, that's a joke that you can't appreciate.
No, I can't, because I don't know who Stephen Hawkins is.
He can't move from the neck down. He's got Lou Gehrig's disease. He types with a straw.
Mister, don't go into Lou Gehrig's disease, because I lost my dad to that. And you are a sick person.
Who was your dad, Lou Gehrig?
All right. You know, Carl.
You're getting to be a sick person.
Thank you very much for your call.
See, a guy like that...
Will you come on, a guy like that? Jamie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to know what gives you the right to do what you do. I mean, you're not a cop. It's not
right.
Your job.
What do you mean? What gives me the right?
Well, hold on. You're not a police officer. I mean, it's not your job to slow people down and point out wrecks and I mean, you're supposed to just obey the law and drive. So,
well, that's
I
like
don't
saying
understand.
It's not my job to pick up a poor homeless man and give him something to eat because I'm not a social worker. That's ridiculous.
Well, let me ask
you
this.
I mean, I drive by an accident, I see it, I slow down. I don't need a constitutional amendment to tell me I got a right to do that.
No, but you are...
Let me ask you this. What would you do in a situation like this? Let's say there was an accident, and the traffic was backed up, okay? And there was an exit about a half a mile down, and I went down the shoulder. I do this all the time because I don't want to sit and wait. I go down the shoulder, not to cut back into traffic, but to go down so I can reach my exit. And I'm from Seattle, and what people do here a lot, it pisses them off by doing that because they had to wait, and I was smart enough or had the balls to figure out how to get around this accident. When I go down the shoulder, they move over into the shoulder so I can't get by. Would you do that?
I'm sorry. Could you say that again?
What part didn't you hear? The whole thing?
Well, you say you're going down the shoulder. I don't understand.
If I was going down, if there was
right.
an accident,
okay,
and, there, and there's an exit about a half a mile down, what I will do in that situation a lot of times is I will get over in the breakdown lane, the shoulder, and I will go down so I can get to the exit rather than have to sit and wait in that traffic or into long. And what people will do here is they will get over in the shoulder and cut me off so I can't get to my exit, and I don't understand that because, I'm just figuring out
what do you mean by lane?
I'm not bothering them.
What do you mean by a breakdown lane? I don't get that.
The lane off to the side of, I'm sorry, Jamie, but the lane where people will go over to the side.
There you go.
Well, what is he doing driving on it?
Because he's trying to get around the accident.
You can't get around the accident because there's a, oh, Jesus, you guys are stupid.
What do you mean he's stupid? Look. This guy is driving around.
Look at Jamie, all I can tell you is this. I slow down to slow up people. I've got a recording of the live recording of Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin from Madison Square Garden. And I will play that full blast.
As you go by a fatality accident.
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to know what you would do because there's a lot
I would
of people
cut my
here.
Car over. I would cut my car over and block you.
And that's what a lot of people do here in Seattle, and it drives me nuts.
Well,
I'm not interested
in your problems. I'm talking about me looking at accidents. What do I care about you?
Yeah, but you know what, though? You know what? This is how I look at that, though. If I'm smart enough to figure out how to get around that accident, and if a cop sees me,
Did you figure out the phone number? Hello?
Is the caller? He's gone. 1-800-449-8686.
Thank God.
Don't worry. I'll screen the call.
Is this guy,
Jim, go ahead. Jim, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey. Listen, guy. You know you're a damn liar.
Hi, Bob Green here.
You're a damn liar.
Are you talking to the host or to me, sir?
I'm talking not to the host. I'm talking to you.
I'm a liar.
I'm telling you, you're a damn liar.
I'm a liar, huh?
You damn right.
You see me driving around in a Cat in the Hat hat,
with the big
phone
number.
I'm going to tell you something. I've been on the road for over 35 years. I'm on the road right now. I pulled over just to talk to you.
No, you couldn't have been on the road for 35 years.
I've been on the road for over 35 years.
Because you got to pull over and get gas and sleep. Ha ha,
hey,
that's a joke.
Listen,
it's just a joke.
Come on, will
you knock it off with the jokes?
Hey, I don't want no joke here. I'm just going to tell you the facts. The facts are that you're not going to go down here to an accident and a highway patrolman, a local police officer, or somebody from an ambulance is not going to let you stop, and they're not going to tell you what the hell is going on.
Well, I would suspect as much as myself, Jim. How do you claim that that happens, Mr. Green?
I can tell you that I've had police officers shake my hand and say thank you for taking
me. You're a damn liar. If a police officer, all they do out here is they want the traffic to keep
moving.
And they do not want it to stop.
What police agency are you talking about, Mr. Green?
One of the police departments.
Which one, sir? Because we'd like to know which police officers are shaking your hand to say thanks for taking interest.
It was the California something.
Highway Patrol?
It was not the California Highway Patrol.
No, it wasn't the Highway Patrol.
It wasn't the local police officer.
It was the California Metropolitan Police.
I don't believe that.
Who are they?
I don't believe you whatsoever.
What I do is
I've never in my life.
I tell him I'm Dr. Seuss and I want to hang out.
Well,
are you trying to tell me that you drive up to an accident scene wearing a Dr. Seuss hat with a big foam rubber number one finger, and the cops are happy to see you?
They understand why I'm there, to save lives and to play.
They understand that he's haywire. There's something wrong with him.
You know, the next time you pull up to an accident scene, Mr. Green, wearing a Cat in a Hat hat and a big foam rubber finger, they're going to put you at a Tascadero, which is the criminally insane place up here in California. You know that, don't you?
They'll probably put him in the ambulance and take him off.
How come you two guys are familiar with where nuts go? Have you been there yourselves? Go straight to the hot ring.
Well,
he hung up. He hung up.
I'm glad he did. Because the guy's haywire. He's lying. He's an ambulance chaser is what he
well,
is.
Well, you know, that's the whole thing. These looky-loos and these guys who want to slow everybody down. Now, look at this. He's called back. Sir, I don't like being hung up on.
You know what it is?
I didn't mean to hang up on you, but I wanted to tell you, gentlemen, that I start the conversation with the officers by saying, green eggs and ham, and Sam I am, and they shake my hand because they enjoyed that as a kid.
Well, you know,
he's
I
nuts.
Think,
he's
I think whatever you want is just to see blood out there.
That's what you want is to see blood.
The officers do not want you to slow down and look at the accident. They want you to keep moving.
Even after I say green eggs and ham.
If you said green eggs and ham to them, they would lock you up.
They put you in the nut bin, and you know it, Mr. Green.
Oh, yeah, they would put me in the nut bin.
Hey, you know something, Jim?
Yeah,
what do you know about it? You know what? Why don't you pull my bin?
And you're not CEO of any store.
Hey, why don't you guys both pull my big orange finger?
Yeah.
Yeah, he hung up again.
I got to go.
All right, thank you very much, Jim.
Road.
Thanks a lot. Why don't you guys pull my big orange finger? This guy's driving around. I can't even. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Relocating the edge and jumping over. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Margaret Gray joins us, nationally syndicated columnist, on the use of the word gay by today's youth in a kind of derogatory way. Oh, your shirt looks gay, or that game move you just made is gay, or that idea is gay, meaning it's bad, or meaning it's stupid. And she'll be talking about how she'll walk right up to kids that use the word in a derogatory way and slap their face. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And I'm by myself for the next few days because my wife and the kids are out in the desert. They're visiting Grandma and Grandpa. And Chris is in there with a big thumbs up like we're going to party tonight, man. Nah, I don't do anything. I can't even get it together to do anything like my wife tells me,
will you be sure to go to the store and buy this? Nah, okay. But I can't even get out of bed to do that, you know. Get some cat food. Nah. Get some this. No. Go get that. Nah. All I'm doing is I'm just, it's even a hassle for me to, like, walk downstairs and grab the TV remote. I just want to lay, there. So I called her this morning, and I said, how's it going? She says, great. Last night, though, we ordered pizza, and it took 2 hours to get there. I said, boy, that sucks. She goes, yeah, Pizza Hut said to us, it's President's Weekend, so we're understaffed and overworked. I said, that ain't in the ad for their pizza. She goes, I said, I've heard Pizza Hut's ads all the time. Fantastic pizza, we deliver this and that. They never say, and on President's Weekend, we're overstaffed, understaffed and overworked. It'll be 2 hours for delivery. Have you ever heard that? Now, if they'd say that, I would eat there all the time. Now, people say, boy, it sure is unfair of you, man, to target Pizza Hut. I'm not trying to target anybody. I'm just, every now and again, these large companies, you never ever, all you hear is the one side about how great this, how great that, and how great something else. Our service this, and our customer relations that. You know, it's just a little glimpse. You guys have had them. I know that, but when you hear a guy on the radio talk about it, I mean, to the point where, I'm going to tell you, my kids starved for 2 hours because Pizza Hut. Now, I wouldn't eat Pizza Hut pizza, not because I think that they're bad people, but I personally, I don't want to risk, you know, the runs. But I will say, hey, man, when you take out an ad for the next big radio buy, which I know won't be on my show, but be sure you say, and this weekend is President's Weekend, so there'll be a 2-hour wait because we're understaffed and overworked. Pizza Hut! 1-800-449-8686. On the other hand, Big Slice, right down the street from us. Oh, my God, your pizza's fantastic. The oregano and sausage. Thank you. Let's get one.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I'm joined by Margaret Gray, nationally syndicated columnist, who has written a column this week that's pretty explosive about kids that use the word gay as in, that's bad, that's gay, that's bad, that's, you know, that's gay-like. And you wrote a column that attracted a little bit of attention. Margaret, tell me about this and you interdict, if you will, or intercede with children, not even your own, who use this word.
I do, Phil. About 30 years ago, I was involved, and I am very open about this with my husband. I've been open about this with my son. 30 years ago, I was a college student, and I was involved in a gay relationship with a woman. So I know what it is to be gay, and I can tell you, when young people say that's gay or this is gay, it's very negative. It's very hurtful.
Your son is involved in this story. Tell us how.
Well, my son, Jason J. Delmonico, is an average 13-year-old boy. He loves to play video games. He's involved in paintballing. He loves, I forget the name of this game, Phil, but it's something about, like a pistol. They go out in the back and shoot these hollow BBs.
Oh, it's something ultra soft or something. So I don't know what it's called. My kids do it, too.
But like every boy, he uses the term gay in a negative way. He says, oh, that's gay, this is gay. Mom, don't do that, it's gay. And I said to him once, I find that homophobic, and I find that you know that Mom, at one time, you know that your mother at one time, went gay for a summer with a college co-ed friend of mine. And I don't want you to use that term again. And like you, Phil, I give them a chance, and then I say to them, I'm going to slap your face if I hear it again. And I've had to do that on more than one occasion with Jason J. Delmonico.
I mentioned that when my son was called Bagel Boy and this kind of thing, that like racist comments like that. But when the kids use the term gay, they're not really being homophobic, are they?
I don't know, because I hear other boys use the term. They have used the term in our home because Jason will have a sleepover with the kids. They play their Xbox. They do this or that. I've walked by the room more than once, and I've heard them say, don't do that, that's gay, or you're so gay when you made that move, this kind of thing. And I've gone in there, and I've said to them, I want you young men to understand something. That term is unacceptable in our home. I went lesbian for a summer.
Is that appropriate to tell kids that?
I think it is, Phil, because it shows the children that you're speaking from experience, that you know how painful it is. It hurts me to this day, even though I'm not gay, I did experience being gay. But I grew out of it and married Frank. And
all right, now that's an interesting comment. When you say you grew out of it,
yes.
What do you mean you grew out of being gay?
Well, I think being gay is a pre-adolescent state. I don't think it's something that is a normal maturation of a human being. I think when you normally mature, you learn how to sexually interact with the opposite sex. So gay people, and I number many among my very dearest friends, and they've been to my home, and I let them come into my home. And I can tell you, even though I number gay people and the gay as very dear to me, it is a stunted state. But having said all of that, we don't allow this term any longer. Now, many parents don't know that their children are using this term. Or if they do hear their children use the term, they don't know what it means. I am telling parents tonight, when you hear your son, and it's usually a young boy, say, oh, that's gay, that is a negative. And in my home, I will intercede with a slap or a slap on the arm. But as a former gay woman, the use of the word gay still cuts me like a knife all these years later.
Margaret Gray joins us. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. On her experience, 30 years ago?
It was 30 summers ago, yes.
And you were involved in a lesbian relationship, and you find young men who use the word, that's gay, this is gay, to be so negative that you are interceding by physically slapping them.
Yes, I am. And to anticipate your question, Phil, parents have complained to me. I have told them, okay, I hear you, I understand, but I will not have that word used in my home, and I certainly won't go out into public and hear it used. It is hurtful, and being gay, even though I'm not any longer, it can really hurt.
Are you slapping kids? What do you mean slapping them?
It's just a bit of physical, in other words, physical reinforcement. You know, when you hear someone say, oh, that's gay, I will go up and grab their hand and slap their wrist. And
well, why not speak to the kids and say, that's a word that I don't like. Maybe you shouldn't use that word. It's hurtful, especially when you're out in public.
Well, I heard you say, Phil, that bigotry should be confronted through violence. And
well, I was talking more in terms of anti-Semitism and the overt bigotry like that. But, I mean, when a young man says, you know,
Let me give you an example. The boys were having some cereal. They had a sleepover at our house about two Saturdays ago. And this young man, this Proctor child, he said something like, this cereal is gay. Or the cereal that your mom has is gay. And I turned the rings around on my right hand, and I slapped the spoon from his hand, and I slapped him across the face, and I reminded him, your mother doesn't know what it's like. Your father doesn't know what it's like, but I do. I was lesbian with another woman. I went lesbian with another woman, and that word gay, used the way you used it, is very hurtful.
Well, you don't know what the kids' parents have been through.
Well, it's very likely that they, by experience, Phil, I doubt seriously if they went, know the gay lifestyle the way that I do, and I don't want to have to do this.
All right, but by turning the rings around on your finger, you don't want to leave a mark. That's obvious.
Well, I don't think to intimate that there's abuse.
Well, I don't know whether I could call it abuse, but to slap a kid that isn't your own because he said, that's gay.
I would never do it were it not for the fact that it particularly hurts me. And as I said, cuts me like a knife because I went gay. By the time these children are using the word gay, it's too late for talking about it. It needs to be handled with a physical reminder.
Can I say this? And I want to give our number out. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray with us. I don't want you slapping my kid if he uses the word gay. I'd like him to be... My boys used to use the F word. And I said, you were no longer allowed to use that word. And I busted on them pretty good. Now, they use the word gay a lot.
They use it in your home.
Yes, they do. And because I know that it is not homophobic so much as it is somehow transcended that in their culture. And it means something that's just bad.
What if it was the N-word, Phil?
Well, I mean...
What if it was the F-word? In other words, you can't sit back and let this happen. And because I've had the courage to intercede, and Phil, the fact your boys are using it makes me really change. It doesn't make me change my opinion of you, but it makes me see you as a little weaker.
Well, perhaps you're right. Perhaps they shouldn't use it. But to have another mother slap them...
I want to reiterate. I've been involved in a gay-lesbian relationship. So... As a straight person, I know the gay experience, I think, a little bit more than most people. Now, if anyone's mother wants to call me and say, I don't like the fact that you slapped my son, I can say to her, but you know something? I've been there. I have experienced the gay, or the gay way. And I can tell you, when your son said that, I wanted to do more than slap him.
Are you really feeling that emotional about it?
I really do, yes. I even though...
Even though you said you think it's being gay is an immature process.
I think it is immature. I mean, when I was with Tony, and she was my lover in college, I went back to I went back to my boyfriend when the summer ended, and she took her own life because she could not deal with the fact that being gay was not really... mature. And I told her, why don't you grow up and be with a man?
Oh my gosh, she took her own life?
Yes, she did.
Do you feel responsible for that?
Why would I feel responsible for that?
Well, I mean, you're saying to her, why don't you grow up and be with a man? Isn't that kind of a hurtful...
Well, no, I was trying to save her. Why don't you grow up, Tony, and be with a man and stop? But the fact remains, Phil, there are three things I really know in my life. How to be a good wife, how to be a good mother, and what it's like to be gay.
All right, Margaret Gray on the line with us from Santa Monica and the restaurant, she said her restaurant out there, what's that, the Little Shrimp out there, talking about having to slap kids who use the word gay as a negative. And why does she feel so strongly? Because she had a gay-lesbian relationship, as she puts it. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I may not like the word, but I can tell you I don't want anybody hitting my kid if they use it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Truth, justice, comedy.
Let me get that. Margaret Gray is with us. You wrote a column about, Margaret, about being, when you wrote your column supporting gay marriage, you mentioned that you'd had a lesbian relationship in college.
That's right.
But now you say you don't like it when people remind you of it.
Well, I said I had a lesbian relationship in college, and now people bring it up all the time as if they think I'm a lesbian. I'm not. I just mentioned it to support my point that I believe gay marriage is correct. And
so you do support gay marriage?
Oh, absolutely. I think anyone that doesn't support gay marriage is simply not facing the reality. There will be gay marriage. It will be legalized. It will become a part of the norm in our country. There's nothing that the straight people can do to stop it. It just happens to be a healthy way for society to deal with its citizens. And
well, I agree with that, but I don't understand why you don't like being reminded that you were a lesbian.
Because I said that I was a lesbian in order to make my point about gay marriage. Now all of a sudden everyone's trying to say, oh, well, are you butch, are you this, are you that? No, I'm not butch. I don't like that term butch. I don't like the term lesbian necessarily. That's not what I am. I'm a wife, and I have a son. I do believe in gay marriage, but I'm not necessarily not going to be parading around saying that I'm a lesbian.
Then why did you come out in your column and say you were?
Because I wanted people to know that I spoke with a level of authority on the subject. That's all. Just a level of authority on the subject. And that's it. But I will tell you this much, Phil. Gay marriage is in our future, come hell or high water, and the straights are going to have to just deal with it. And I think that... But I don't like anybody calling me butch.
Well, all right. I can understand why you wouldn't like that. I don't know how they're going to vote on this thing, man, in the state of California, or whether or not.
Well, look at the mayor of San Francisco. He's giving out the gay wedding certificate. So I support gay marriage. I just don't want anyone saying that I am gay.
Well, you're the one that said that you were gay. You said it in a column.
Well, yes, but now I've got a lot of... I don't want to say it, but I have a lot of dykes, you know, writing me email and saying, do you want to come to this? Do you want to come to that? Do you want to come to this function or that? No, I don't.
Well, I will say this, Mark. I'm going to leave you with this thought. It's one hell of a thing to say you support the gay lifestyle or the gay orientation or whatever, but then say you don't like getting email from lesbians and dykes.
Well, I don't want them to get the wrong idea.
All right, well, good luck and, good hunting on your efforts to get gay marriage legalized in the state of California. All right, 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Hendry Show, and I got a flashback coming up here. Jay Santos, Operation Real Love, as he accosts elementary school kids to look in their bags for Valentine's Day cards or candy, which can lead to AIDS.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You're supposed to be enforcing the law.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you broke more laws today than you enforce. You are,
I'd sure like to know
going,
what law.
You are going to school grounds, drinking alcohol in public, and accosting children without their parents being there. You're not even supposed to be talking to these children without their parents. The regular police can't take these children into a van and talk to them without their parents being there. They can't drink on the job, but yet you are supposed to be enforcing the law, but yet you go out and break more damn laws than what you enforce.
Well, that's
and what you're supposed to be doing is taking these Valentines, and that's breaking another law. These kids wasn't breaking any laws whatsoever, and y'all are out there breaking two or three laws.
Well, sir,
the
difference between citizens auxiliary police and regular police is we are allowed to have alcoholic beverages in limited amounts on
sir,
the job.
Sir.
And,
sir,
uh-huh.
Were you not out in public?
We were on a public street. We were not
okay,
on school grounds.
It is against the law to drink out in public. It's called public drunkenness.
A public drunkenness? We weren't drunk. Yeah. We were drinking. I was a little tipsy, but I was not drunk.
Oh, my
okay.
God. You're tipsy? You're tipsy.
And on top of all of this, you're supposed to be trying to keep these kids from getting AIDS and becoming sexual, but
absolutely.
Yet you're talking about how good the teachers look?
I did not do that in the presence of children, sir. I did
you're
that in the children.
You're out in public drinking. You have a person who has a drug problem, is drinking cough syrup. You're all drunk, out in public, accosting kids without their parents, and making comments to the teachers at school, and you think that what you've done is right?
Sir, I limit my consumption in my van, that it's not public drinking. I'm in the confines of the van.
Okay.
Then I get out, then
okay.
I go outside.
Answer me another question. Did you walk home from there, or did y'all drive?
We drove. We drove in Citizens
Auxiliary.
Okay,
now you've just broken another law. That's DUI.
I wasn't driving. Sub-Commander Brian was who...
Is he the one with the drug habit, or
no,
is he
sir,
the one
no,
sucking
sir.
Down the cough syrup?
That's another... That was one of the other gentlemen, sir.
Oh, so he was the designated idiot, or what?
You know, Joe, what are you doing for your neighborhood? Okay, I'm helping our neighborhood. What are you, Sheriff Andy from Mayberry?
How are you helping your neighborhood going around accosting children, scaring the hell out of them, driving
okay, right
them
now,
in the van, which is borderline kidnapping, and drunk on top of that?
Well,
how
sir,
are you
least,
helping
least
your
getting,
neighborhood?
I'm getting out in there, and I'm doing things, not sitting at home eating a can of boiled peanuts and waiting
well,
for...
bless your damn neighborhood if you're the best they've got.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's easy to criticize, sir. Father, the success has many fathers, but failure is an orphan. Thank you.
You're talking about...
Okay, what is this?
I want to ask Joe something. Joe, are you there?
Yes.
Do you have your own theme music? No, you don't. The Citizens Auxiliary Police does. So I guess that's
well, yeah. Well, we don't have no Citizens Auxiliary. We do have a neighborhood watch.
Okay, that's we are, only we've got a little more bite, you know. We don't just stand there and go, ooh, there comes a bad guy, better call the police. I gotta kick some ass.
Maybe call the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers.
Or the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
2553, see the man. Oh, that hurt. Give me some of that cough medicine. Well, yeah, it just kind of hurt my throat when I went, yeah.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Morgan, why are you back on? Okay, I can hear Margaret Gray's, I can hear the line is open to the restaurant. Did she have something she wanted to say to me? Because I can hear the line open to the restaurant, and I was told that... Are you there, Margaret?
Yes. Phil, I'm sorry. I stepped away from the table to use the bathroom. Are you hanging up on me or what?
Yeah, we're all done.
Well, why aren't I getting any phone calls?
Well, because nobody wants to talk to you.
I don't understand.
Nobody wants to talk about it, okay? It's boring. It's boring. Your gay experience in college, being called butch, and your views on gay marriage is dull.
So, Jay Santos gets all these calls, Bob Green gets all these calls, and I'm dull.
Well, I find you dull, and I want to get rid of you, so just get out of here, will you? Listen to that! Good God! Yeah, I'm all in favor of gay marriage, Phil. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Get a piece of fat and slide off. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, John Kerry's... Is she still on? Margaret.
Yes.
What are you doing?
I'm expecting to take phone calls, but you had me on as a guest.
There aren't any phone calls for you to take. Nobody wants to talk about gay marriage. It's dull. No one cares.
I find that very hard.
Let me put you on hold. You can talk to my producer. I don't know why. Nobody wants to talk about it, okay? It sucks. 1-800-449-8686. I wanted to say... What did you do?
I just broke off of hold. No one keeps me on hold. And
well, I'm going to put you back on it. I'm hanging up, in fact. I broke out of hold. You know, Lloyd was the only guy that did that. Now she could do it. Get her off a hold because she'll bust out of hold again. Unreal, man. Hey, how about this presidential election so far, huh? Isn't it something to be proud of? John Kerry never had an affair with anybody. And the people that said that the parents said he was a sleazebag, that's a lie. And why don't you Republicans and you Democrats, forget it. Never mind. No, keep doing what you're doing. It's fine, man, because you can talk about the issues. Nobody's going to know what the hell it is you're talking about. This gets people interested. Thank God there's dirt. The average American voter is so stupid, they wouldn't be able to figure out what it is you're talking about when you talk about the cost of health care, the cost of national defense, how we're going to operate a Homeland Security office and at the same time increase the amounts of monies it may take to get jobs going. What, you think Americans understand that? Well, they would, Phil, if they talked about it a little bit more. Uh-huh. If they talked about it a little bit more, people would turn the whole thing off. En masse. The only thing that keeps anybody interested in this country is this garbage. If they started to actually talking about issues, it would be one big fat yawn, man. There'd be flies flying into people's mouths all over the country. In flies a gnat. Boy, I'll tell you though, it's something else. Kerry almost had an affair. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. No, he didn't. The girl comes out and says, I didn't even have an affair with this man. And the parents come out and say, we're going to vote for the guy. Whereas, what was it, last week, they were quoted as saying they think he's a sleazeball. Well, we realize now that that's a lie. A lie and a half, if you ask me.
Why don't you stick with the facts? The facts are the Kerry doesn't know what the hell it is he's talking about. And as far as Bush is concerned, this whole thing about his record with the Air National Guard, that's a load. The guy was on duty. He was down there. Never freaking mind. So what if he wasn't? So what if he was AWOL? Let me ask you, man. Are you trying to tell me that his conduct of national defense bespeaks a guy that is inept? Bespeaks a guy that is an individual who is... He's got his hands full. I mean, he's got too much on his plate. He's got the full support of the military. There's one thing he does know what he's doing with. It's the military. So what is that whole thing with the Air National Guard? What's that got to do with anything? Now we can go over to John Kerry. Guy ain't said what he stands for yet. The cat is not clear about anything. He says he wants health care. Whoopee-doo, man. Don't we all? It's going to cost a lot of bread, man. You know how you're going to pay for it? And get us out of a budget deficit? And how are you going to operate that Homeland Security office again? And what do you mean multinational and multilateral? What is that supposed to mean, dude, a multilateral approach to the problems in Iraq? Are you going to put peacekeepers on the ground? Is that what you're going to do? And getting back here to America once more, what's the whole thing with unemployment? Presidents don't make jobs, man. Presidents do not make jobs. Presidents have never made or created jobs. Jobs are created by an economy that's either doing well or it isn't doing well. Presidents can influence the economy only to a point. I can tell you one thing, and you know this as well as I do from experience. When you see big-time taxes come into the picture, not moderate increases, but big-time tax increases, it does not. The stock market doesn't react favorably to that stuff. Companies start selling, people start selling off their interest in companies. They need the money. Why, Phil? So they can pay for those, like, tax increases and stuff. And when people start selling off their interest in companies, companies ain't hiring people. Now, that's just the facts, Jack, baby. That's just economics 101. That isn't me making it up. That's the way it is. That's the way it's traditionally gone. Do I think we need tax increases? Yeah, to a point, we probably do. Do I think we ought to tax the people that can afford it the most? Yeah, to a point, I think we should, but I don't think it should be a ongoing ad infinitum. I think it can be, I don't know, scaled in at some level, somehow, make these taxes not so much, permanent or even retroactive as, occasionally you need to tax. So what groups do you tax? Who do you go after? Who's got the money? Well, you go after the rich guys. That means that they're not going to invest in businesses. That means that there's not going to be businesses that are creating jobs. That means people don't have jobs. That affects the middle class and the lower class. Yeah, that's true, too. Nobody invests in their country anymore. That's the problem. Nobody believes in really being an American anymore. You see, everybody likes to talk about it. Everyone wants to talk about, I love my country. No, you don't. No, you don't. What the hell do you do for your country? 90% of us piss and moan every time we're asked to kick in. Well, that's because the taxation is unfair. Hey, be honest with me. Every bit of taxation is unfair as far as you're concerned, isn't it? In fact, there's a lot of screwballs out there that don't think the U.S. government's got the right to levy any taxes at all because it's the constitutional, it violates the Constitution. If they had their way, this place would be some kind of a make-believe Shangri-La where all kinds of great stuff happens and nobody has to pay any taxes. Roads just pave themselves. Schools get built by themselves. Military hardware is produced by itself. Soldiers are paid magically off the money tree. Policemen, firefighters, teachers, utility workers, they're all paid off the money tree, man. And who planted the money tree? The tooth fairy. Or your fairy godmother. Or some fairy. When he ain't campaigning for gay marriage, little joke, just a little kind of a, sticking it in there, pulling it out, wiping it off, Anyway, all that stuff just magically happens. Sure, you got to pay for stuff. Is it necessary? Is there another way? Is there a way we can do it without squeezing every last nickel out of people? Let's hear some hard facts about how crap gets paid for. I'm listening to this guy, Kerry. He wants health insurance. How are you going to pay for it, man? I thought you were going to bring down this deficit. You see, you cats are talking about the Bush deficit, the Bush debt, the trillion-dollar debt, which we had in the 90s, or in the 80s, by the way. Well, how are you going to pay that off and increase health care? You're going to have to raise taxes to do both, get rid of the debt and pay for health care. How are you going to do that? Does anybody ask? If you ask those questions, and the average taxpayer doesn't, by the way, you're probably going to get some long, rambling, boring answers, and nobody's going to pay any attention. It's better to know if the guy's had an affair, or if he's got the clap, or if he's got the drip, or if he's got six kinds of gonorrhea. That's far sexy and far more interesting. That's why we're hearing all this crap. I tell you something, it's pretty embarrassing, man. It's pretty sad. It's the stupidest thing that, you got an election coming up here, 2004. We're going to elect the president. This is 2004, by the way. It ain't 1980, 1970. And we're still playing these games. Who had an affair? Who didn't have an affair? We're going to lose more good people, man. The only guys we're ever going to elect are guys that have never had sex before. But if they're stupid, who cares? As long as they've, read the Bible and they've never taken a wooden nickel. They're just squeaky clean all the way down the line. Dumb, but squeaky clean. So tomorrow's the Wisconsin primary. I gotta hand it to Howard Dean. He's a guy that just, he hangs in there, he believes what he believes, and that's cool. He's a man of principle. I give Howard Dean that. Kerry, he ain't a man of principle. This guy, like I told you, he's a dog. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say a dog? He's a guy that has stuck his fellow soldiers in the back. He's a guy that talks out of both sides of his face. Hasn't got one consistent position on anything. On top of everything else, this dog, he ain't even an inside. He's not an outsider that everybody talks about. He's an inside the beltway with his hand out. You can grease his palm every which way because he's had all kinds of grease in that palm. He's got his hand out, taking it for more lobbyists, and he's got people believing that he's some kind of a knight in shining armor. At least Bush, I know what I got. What do you got, Phil? Well, I'll tell you what I got. I got a guy that was more decisive than anybody else I can mention when it comes to 9/11. Okay, yeah, that's national defense, and everybody thinks it's a load of crap. I got big news for you. It's going to be more and more important as the years go by. But let's talk about the economy, okay? Right now, the recession that could have been devastating to this country that was caused by 9/11, if you want to ask, well, what has 9/11 got to do with anything? It's got everything to do with the recession that we lived through. It was caused by 9/11. Could have been much, much deeper were it not for the fact that we got a guy chairing the Federal Reserve by the name of Alan Greenspan, who everybody thinks is some kind of an idiot. Let me tell you something. That idiot kept this country out of what could have been a devastating recession. Don't believe it? Well, let me tell you something. You got a stock market that's back up over 10,500 points. You got an unemployment rate that is either steady or dropping in some states. You got some job creation going on. It's going to get better. There's a fairly decent prognosis for the future from every business guy that I've heard talking about it. And the horrific depression / recession that this country was supposed to be suffering, it ain't happening, baby. Much to the chagrin and ultimate sadness and depression of cats like Kerry. Now, do I think Bush is a brain surgeon? No. Do I think Bush creates jobs? No. I can tell you right now, there is no reason at this particular point, though, at this point in the history of this country, to start jacking taxes left and right, just as we're beginning to get out of this down business cycle, and start causing people not to spend money anymore. There's no reason for it. None. You want to talk about Head Start and schools and things like that? Those are issues for each state to deal with, as we are here in California, as you may have to in your state. National health care? It's a great idea, but I got sitting in the other room my very dear friend, Ms. Ungaro, who's a Canadian citizen, and she said to me, I'll never forget, it was about a week or two ago, she said, hey, as far as health care is concerned, why don't you tell them about Canada, man? There ain't nobody rushing up there to get health care. They're not knocking down the doors up there, man, to get health care. They're coming down here. Do you understand, folks? Canadians are coming to America to get health care. I didn't mean to yell, but, quite frankly, I've been drinking. That's right. I'm kidding. Janice is shaking her head. Don't do that. They're going to believe it. They write enough emails as it is. All right. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Oh, God. Now what?
Are we taking calls or aren't we?
Your bit is done. It's dead. It's finished. Nobody wants to call and talk about your stupid, funky premise.
So is that a no?
Yes.
So I should hang up?
Yes. Hang up, please.
Now?
Yes, now.
Why don't you?
Because you break off a hold if I do. There, I hung up. Oh, Jesus. The guest that wouldn't go away. Unreal. 1-800-449-ROAR! Oh, get out of here with that busted off a hold. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. One 800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now the Phil Hendry Show presents some of our show's funniest lines, as chosen by you, the listener. You can go to our website, by the way, www.philhendryshow.com, and check out some of these lines. They're up there in a section. You'll know it's called Funniest Lines. Yes?
Are you really done with me?
Oh, will you come on? All right, here's one said by Jay Santos. I think it's unfair because your daughter has big boobs and my boy had to come home humping a Macy's bag. Roland Schwinn said, I think Jesus could have miracled his ass off that cross had he had more food. General Johnson Jameson said the following on the Art Bell Show. The only thing we can hope is when the Earth stops spinning, if the Earth stops spinning, the Mir spacecraft falls on Cameron Manheim. In fact, we're not sure what's going to fall first, Cameron Manheim's ass or the Mir spacecraft. We'll have to find out. Vernon Dozier said, I simply said to her, as long as you're not using the other one, do you mind if I have a suck? Art Bell said, so for a few moments, somehow your genitals were hooked up to that internet. To the internet. Bobby Dooley said, you don't park a group of retards next to a road and not expect them to get nailed by a flying Dodge Durango. Alf Berger was a character we had on our show a few years ago. He said, I did what any loving husband would do. I smothered her with a pillow, and I buried her in an unmarked grave off of Angeles Crest Highway. Very dignified, very private. Steve Bozell. Hey, nice camel toe. Ted Bell. Those people on the Columbian rocket died in an instant. For 12 hours, I had to grab the edge of a table while it was put to me... while it was put to me financially. Lloyd Bonafide, I can see up your poop deck. R.C. Collins, I got more girls after me than flies on a caribou's ass. Here's something said by Vic Prell. He said, work relationships never... Vic Prell, work relationships never work out unless you work at a vibrator factory. And then there was Bobby Dooley, who said, she hasn't closed her legs since Woodstock. Coach Paul Tubby Lane said, I kick a lot of ass. I lather up a lot. This is sick, man. I kick a lot of ass, and I lather up a lot of ass, too. Lloyd Bonafide, you want to know where I live? 123 Ass Kick Street. Bobby Dooley said, when my children defecate into a casserole dish, they do it responsibly. Dean Wheeler, think how evolved you'd be if you have a glass of ginger ale with a man who had just carved your wife up. Peter Oliver said, I say again to you, Joan, a man stands in front of you wearing a leather jockstrap and a mask made of vinyl and another with a bouquet of flowers. Which one do you choose?
And finally, can't get to all of them. Siamese twins Frank and Al. Frank is straight, Al is gay, and this is what they said. We're bent over a coffee table, and I got to chew on a towel. There it is, the show's funniest lines. You'll see those on our website at www.philhendryshow.com. We didn't say anything about our best of the Phil Hendry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio. You can buy it online or call 1-877-616-7445. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California.
The Phil Hendry Show is produced by Janice and Garrow. I'm Margaret Gray speaking.